Good morning. Today's Daf and Baba Kama Nun Vav. We're going to be starting today on the bottom of Nun Hey Amud Beis, and today is the day dedicated to Grama. Baba Kama Nun Vav is all about Grama. Now, yesterday we just opened up with the beginning of the sixth parak of the Masechta, and we didn't speak about Grama yesterday, but as you're going to see, kind of like an offshoot of one of the cases in the Mishnah, so we're going to get on to a lengthy discussion regarding Grama. Okay, the Mishnah yesterday, gave very straightforward cases in which I have sheep and I pen them up. And what happens is that, I don't know, something happened. In other words, something that was beyond my control. And it went ahead and it did damage. So I'm going to be potter. So why am I going to be potter? Because that's ones. Good. That's the Mishnah. And we discussed it in some detail yesterday. We talked about Shmira, what kind of Shmira is necessary. Basic Shmira, upgraded Shmira. But anyway, that was the mission yesterday. With that in mind, Tanya. So right away now, we're going to be launching into a series of cases that do not fall under the category of direct damage, but rather indirect damages. So we learned in the Brisa of Yeshua, Arba Dvarim Ho'osa Osam, Bata Medina Adam, V'chai Medina Shamayim. There are four cases in which if I were to do these kinds of actions, in other words, they result in damage, but nevertheless, I'm not going to be liable in the court of law, but Medina Shamayim, but the right thing to do is to pay back. Meaning that be'etzem I'm obligated to pay, but in other words, I can't be taken to court. This is a classic distinction that's made within the Braisa of chayv bidinei. Sorry, let's start off with pater. Pater midinei sham. See how confused I got. Pater midinei adam and chayv bidinei shamayim. Okay, which means what? Meaning that we're somewhere in between being obligated and being liable. In other words, I'm not obligated to the point in which I can be taken to court and that the court's going to take money from me. On the other hand, what I did was wrong. It wasn't right what I did. And there's a certain amount of, you can call it an ethical responsibility, but it's how we're learning halacha over here. So in other words, it's a halachic responsibility to go and to pay back that which I did. It's just that money cannot be extracted via the court. And all these cases are going to basically be examples of grama. I didn't do the damage biyadayim. I didn't do it with my hands. But rather, it came about because of my actions. So in other words, my actions led to the damages that were done, but I didn't do it directly. Okay, let's go through the examples. Now, the Bryce is funny because the Bryce says, how many cases can we come up with? Four. Okay, four cases. How many cases are there in Grama? I don't know. Right? In other words, with creativity, the answer will approach infinity. In other words, there are an infinite number of cases in which I didn't do the damage but I did it in a circuitous manner. The damage came about because of what I did. Four cases of grama. Four cases of grama is like, you know, it's not even a sliver of cases that can come up with. In fact, in the course of today's daf, the Gemara is going to note, even just the Mishnais and Braisos, there are going to be many other cases other than the four given over here. So one of the things we're going to be doing today is that we're going to try to understand why the Braisa over here limited to four different examples and only four different examples, when meanwhile, obviously, there's a lot more examples that could be given. Tanya Rav Shuar, but Dvarim Ha'osa, Sampata Medina, Adam V'chayv, Bedina Shamayim, Ve'elohein, number one. Ha'paritz Gedda B'fnei Be'em is Chavera. So what did you do? You broke your fence. Broke the fence of your neighbor. And now what happens is his animals are escaping and doing the damage. Now, on those animals escaping, so they escape because you broke the fence. Did you take those animals, remove those animals? No, you did not. That's example number one of Grama. Number two. So what I did is I took stalks of my friend and I bent them in the direction of oncoming fire. Okay, in other words, did I light them on fire? No. Did I get them closer to the fire? The answer is yes. Grama. Case number three. I hire witnesses to testify. So the witnesses came to the court and they testified, and as a result of their testimony, money was extracted from somebody else. So did I extract the money? No. Did I set the wheels in motion so that money will get extracted? The answer is yes. That's example number three of Grama. Correct. In other words, I hire them to testify. Correct. And let's say I have testimony, but I decide I'm not going to go to court. I don't want to go to court and I don't want to testify. And so what I do is I suppress the testimony. So under those circumstances, that's another example of Grama. Because of testimony that I have that could have saved somebody from having to pay, but I opted not to testify, so now money's extracted from him. Had I gone to court, he would have held his money. So once again, I am pater midinei adam chai midinei shamayim. Those are four examples. Okay. Now, what we've done so far is we've laid out the cases But there is much to discuss, and the Gemara is going to do all that in today's daf. Amar Mar Porz Geder B'vnei Be'emes Chaver. Let's go back to case number one. Case number one is I break somebody's fence, and the animals now escape because I broke the fence. So Hechidami Yileima Bekoso Bari B'dina Adam Nam Nechayev. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Instead of focusing on the animals that escaped, can we just go back to what I did? What did I do? I broke his fence. So I understand on the animals escaping, that's a grammar discussion. But I broke his fence. Shouldn't I be chayv on breaking his fence? So the Gemara says, Ela bekosa ra'ua. So now as we're on the top of Nunvava Manalev, so the fence is basically dilapidated. It's almost basically in the point of shambles. And so what I did really is I didn't do anything in terms of damaging the fence. Fence was pretty much on its last leg. So then the only thing that really we could speak about in terms of damages is the idea that the animals now escaped. Meaning even in its dilapidated form, the animals would still have been penned up. But now that I've actually taken down the fence, as shoddy as it is, now the animals escaped and now the animals are doing damage. And what about me? Not a good person, but I'm not going to be liable on the damages that are done because that's grama. Very good point. We're trying to fit into the words of the Braisa. In other words, haporitz gedder b'fnei be'em ischaveru. Okay, good. So maybe because of where the Gemara wanted to teach that particular chiddush. Amar mar kofif kamaso shel chaver b'fnei hadaleika. Number two.
I know why. I don't want to waste your time. I know the answer. Yeah, I know the answer. Because it doesn't mean to say, doesn't matter whether you open the door or not. It doesn't mean to say that you haven't made an opening, regardless of whether it's through the door or through somewhere else.
Number two.
The point is if you allow the animal
to
you
open the door.
Right. That's what I mean. Says. He made a pizza's gate. What's a pizza's gate? Okay. You make a pizza's
gate. Akofev kamaso shel chaver b'fnei hadaleika. What you did now is that you bent somebody's stalk in the direction of the fire. Now, hechidami ilei medamachelei. So Baruch Mitzuya b'dini Adam na Michayev. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. The oncoming fire, right? If the oncoming fire is going at a quote-unquote regular rate, Ruach Mitzuya, okay? That is the usual and expected rate. So then, b'dini Adam na Michayev. So what you did now is that you accelerated the damage. In other words, when we talk about damages done through Eish, and Tosfos makes this point very clear right over here, it does not matter whether or not I move the fire towards the item or I move the item towards the fire. In either way, that's Eish. That's going to be a Nezik done via Eish. So what I did is I took somebody's stalk and I bent it in the direction of the fire, therefore creating more proximity between the item and the fire. And the fire right now is moving at a regular rate. So that, of course, is going to be Nezik b'yadayim. And for sure, you're going to be chayv. And you're going to be chayv b'dei Adam. So the Gemara says, Ela demashe baruch shenu matsuya. So what happened is the following. I bent the stalk in the direction of the fire. Now the fire came at an unanticipated rate. All of a sudden, this strong wind comes and blows the fire in this direction. And lo and behold, look at that. Wow. I didn't expect that. So on one hand, now the unexpected fire is onus, right? Yes, that's true. But I also bent the stalk in the direction. So I was mekarev. So over here, so now are you liable? Once again, it's a grumma. In other words, I didn't do the damage via daim, but I certainly caused the damage to occur. And so therefore, bidine adam repater, bidine shamayim, you're going to be chayev. Rav Ashi amar tamen itmar mishum deshavi tamen beish. Rav Ashi says, no, I'll explain the case a little bit differently. Not a little bit differently, differently. And that is that the case under review over here, the second case of grumma, in the Braisa, is the following. There's an oncoming fire. And right now, somebody's property is going to be consumed by the fire and going to be damaged. And that person now will be receiving full reparation for the damage that was done. Good. Now, what do? I come in and to my friend's property. What do? I cover it. Yeah. Now, what we know by Eish, we said it already numerous times, that there's a Ptur Tamun. If the item that is consumed by the fire is covered, so now the person who started the fire is going to be putter. Okay? It's a patur. It's a legal exemption by Eish. As a result of that, what did I do? So now because I created this legal exemption, I'm the one who covered the property, and now the person is not going to be able to receive compensation because I covered it. So now he's going to look at me and he's going to say to me, oh, what you did is terrible. He's right. What I did is terrible. But at the same time, however, can he seek recovery from me? Do I have to pay for it? In other words, you can't take me to court. I'm not the one who did the damage. All I did was cause them not to be able to get paid back from the fire starter. Okay. That's pater midine adam and chai midine shemayim.
Yeah.
You could say whatever you want. In other words, but the point is that he can't come to me and collect from me. Okay. Now the amar mar socher dig sheker hechidam yilem al nafshei. Now we are up to the third case of the brisa. In the third case of the brisa, so what do I do? Is I hire witnesses. Now I hire witnesses. That's interesting. Now I'm hiring witnesses for whom? So if it's lenafshei, if I'm hiring witnesses for me, so then mamona by shlomei. So let's see how this works right now. I hire witnesses to go to court to testify that somebody owes me money. It's a fictitious claim and the witnesses are false witnesses. And I hire them. And now what did I do? I took the money. That's grumma? That's not grumma. In other words, I'm the one now who took the money. So what do I need to do now in order to make right? I need to give the money back. So mamuni bai shlami. Uvedina adam nam nechayev. And over here, so now he has a legitimate case against me that's not just a dine shamayim type of obligation. It is a bona fide obligation in which he can and should take me to court in order to get back his money. So ela lechavre. So the case under discussion over here is the following, is that I hire witnesses so that my friend will receive money. So I hire witnesses so that my friend will receive money. So over here, grandma. In other words, so now, am I the one who took the money? No, my friend took the money. Okay, and what did I do? Terrible things, what I did. I hired witnesses to falsely testify in court. Okay, what I did was terrible. But again, from a liability standpoint in which, now, can I be taken to court? No, because what I did is grama. Number four. Hayodei eidus l'chaver v'einu me'ilo v'mai. Askinan ilema bebei trei pshita da'raisa. So, I am right now having testimony, but I'm just refusing to court, and I'm not going to submit my testimony in court. I don't want to. The Gemara says, well, exactly what's happening over here. If I'm one of two witnesses, meaning I know about the other witness, and if I don't go to court, so now I am really preventing somebody from collecting what's properly his, and I know that I'm one of two witnesses. So the Gemara says, pshita, it's obvious. What's obvious? So most of the Rishonim say, the Gemara doesn't make this point clear, but most Rishonim say that what's obvious is that what I did was wrong. Again, it's not nezek bi'adayim, but what I did was wrong, and I'm chai b'dinei shamayim. Meaning, I don't need the Braisa to tell me that. That's such an obvious point. So the Gemara says, pshita daraisa hi, im lo yagiv v'nasa avano. Suppression of testimony is an isur daraisa. Now, just to be clear, I know I just made this point, but I want to really hammer this point, and I want to be clear about this point. Meaning, suppression of testimony is an issa daraisa, but you're still not a mazik biyadayim. Meaning, because of your refusal to go to court, you didn't actively damage somebody's property. What you did now is that because of your refusal, somebody did not get paid. Somebody who rightfully should have gotten paid did not get paid. When all is said and done, it's still grumma. So therefore, you're not going to be chai b'dinei adam, but nevertheless, it's wrong. And of course it's wrong. It's a pasuk in the Torah.
It's transgression in its own right.
Yeah. It's a transgression in its own right, and you're not going to be chai b'dinei adam.
Same when you want to ask about breaking
the wall.
It was
not there.
Chai b'dinei adam because you with your hands. With your
yeah, but no, correct. But in other words, but that's a nezek b'yadayim. Here, there's no b'yadayim. So the Gemara says, Ella b'chad. So the Gemara says that the Bryce over here is invoking the following Chiddush, and that is, there is no other witness. I'm the only witness. So then it only begs the question, if I'm the only witness, what's the point of going to court? I mean, why would I go to court? But the answer to that is also obvious. Rashi here spells it out. And that is that when I go to court as one witness, so can I extract money with if I'm this sole person testifying? The answer, of course, is no. However, as Rashi reminds us right here, and that is that if I go to court as one witness, what does that mean? It means now that the defendant is going to have to make a shvuah. Now, if he fails to make a shvuah, if he doesn't want to make a shvuah, then he's going to have to pay. So even as one witness, there's still some effect that will occur if I went to court. I refuse to go to court even as one witness. Maybe, just for a moment, we're entertaining the idea is is that it's not as bad. What the Brice is teaching us is, no, that's bad. Again, you're certainly not going to be Chai B'dinei Adam. That's for sure the case. But you're also, but the, on the other side, you're still Chai B'dinei Shamayim? Yes. What you did was wrong. Okay. So far, so good. We have now gone through, we've covered four different cases of grama. Okay. In the course of today's daf, so there is a large discussion to be had. When I say large, it's well beyond the scope of the daf, but I'll just highlight. And that is that a number of occasions throughout the Gemaras, and here in Baba Kama, we're going to see this on a couple of occasions, and throughout the Babas, we're going to see it, and that is that there are courts who go ahead and litigate, and they collect on cases that are somewhere in between Nezik B'Yadayim and Grama. The Gemara is a term to describe that's called Garmi. Okay? Garmi is this middle category in which the Beis Din will say that, look, even though you didn't actively do the damage, but, in other words, what you did was foul play, and what you did was so close to actively having done it, therefore the court's going to go and collect. Now, some courts collected on Garmi cases, and some courts did not. Right? We're going to see over the, not today's daf, but later in the Masechta. We're going to see yesh v'yesh. Some courts do, some courts don't. Meanwhile, in today's daf, we are being repeatedly told again and again that if it's a grama, the court is not going to collect, period. Meaning what you did was wrong, and there is a chi of shamayim to go ahead and to do the right thing and to pay for the indirect damages that you did, but the court's not going to go ahead and collect on your behalf. It's clear in today's daf that there's grama. So, but what then would be the difference between grama versus garmi? That's a major discussion. It's a big discussion. The Ramban wrote an entire essay on this particular topic. It's called Dina de Garmi. Okay, so, outside of the world of Daf Yomi. So you wanna really challenge yourself in terms of trying to come up with categories of what's Garma and what's Garmi. So that is going to be one of your first marmakamos of the Ramban and his Dina de Garmi. Okay, we are back in the Gemara. The Gemara Vesuleika. Okay, we're on Nun Vav Amud Aleph and about a quarter of the way down. So there are four cases of grama. Gemara says you have to be kidding. There are more than four cases of grama. Now the Gemara is going to cite right now, several more. It's fair to say that even as the Gemara is going to cite several more, how many more cases of grama can we actually come up with? So the number is huge, right? In other words, it's just going to be a function of how creative you and I are. We can come up with almost a limitless number of cases of grama. What the Gemara is pointing out over here is that, look, we have Mishnayos and we have Braisos that also talk about cases of grama. So over here, it's a little bit strange that the opening of today's daf, where we are opening up with, here are cases of grama, right? And Rabbi Yoshua, in the opening of today's daf, says, here are four cases of grama. Four cases of grama? In other words, even in Mishnayos and Braisos, I could cite you other cases. Why would Rabbi Yoshua only focus on these four? The Sulek of Ahayika, the Gemara says, I'll give you a number of examples. Gemara gives us a simon over here in the parentheses to help us commit to memory. All these different cases. Number one, Oseh Melacha B'Mechatas. Uveparas Chatas. So let's say I do avoda either with the solution water for the paraduma, or the actual paraduma itself. So in other words, what do I do? I do malacha with it, and what do I do as a result of that? I posel it. Now, did I do damage by yadayim? No. In other words, it's a halachic psul. So it's grama. So patam idina adam v'chay b'dina shamayim. So once again, could I be taken to court? No. What I did was wrong, 100% wrong, and an ethical obligation to go ahead and to make compensation, but not nezik by yadayim. One example. Another example. I put poison in front of my animal, in front of my friend's animal. The animal ate the poison, died. And now, did I kill the animal? No. Did I damage the animal? No. Did I cause its damage? 100%. Another example of grama. I gave fire to somebody who does not have the cognitive ability to go ahead and to safeguard it. And he went ahead and spread that fire. So did I...
Not for the purpose. just gave it to them. By knowing that they're just going to be not kidding, they could be negligent.
I mean,
be reckless. You know,
by definition,
they're the purpose of being using them as a messenger, as a shliach.
They can't. You can't appoint. You can't appoint them as a shliach.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You gave them to a cherish on the bekatan. Period. So again, is that did I do it by yadayim? No. Did I cause the damage? 100%. Va'ika hamavis es chaveru apata medina adam v'chay v'dina shemayim. Another example would be is that I went ahead and I scared the daylights out of my friend, right? Thinking that it's hilarious. Good. And now, not only did he get scared, but he had a heart attack. Rachmanis, meaning I'm making the case graphic over here so you understand. In other words, did I do a biyadayim? Did I actively hurt him? No. Did I cause him to get hurt significantly? Yeah. Yeah. Again, that's grandma. Ve'aika nishbar kadam b'rishos haram v'lo silka or naflagam v'lo hamidam. My jug broke in the Rosh Hasharabim, or my camel fell in the Rosh Hasharabim, and what happened was I didn't pick him up, and somebody else tripped over him. So Rabbi Meir Mechai Bezeka and V'chacham Amrim Pater Medina Adam V'chai Medina Shemayim. So a discussion that we had much earlier in the Masechta, somebody trips over it. Now, should that person look where he's going? So if you recall, if you remember, my chlok is between the Tanayim. But according to the Chachamim, the Chachamim says that Nizkal Poshea, the person who tripped, should have looked where he was walking, and therefore it's his fault. Now, it's his fault. On the other hand, look what I did. In other words, I'm the one who dropped it there. I'm the one who left it there. So am I a Goreim? 100% I'm a Goreim. According to the Chachamim, perfect. This is Grama. So, Patah B'dinah Adam V'chai B'dinah Shemayim. So the Gemara says, so, what did we just learn together? There are so many other cases throughout Baba Kama, in which we could have cited. Rabbi Yeshua says, here's four cases. What do you mean? Without batting an eyelash, the Gemara came up with five more cases of Raisos and Mishnayos. So the Gemara says, in Mia Ikatuva. The Gemara says, of course. How many cases of Grama are there? Numerous cases. V'hani Yitzrich Lei, Mao Detena B'dinah Shemayim Nami Lo L'chayv Kamashmalan. So, the cases of Rabbi Yeshua, the four cases of Rabbi Yeshua, they require more investigation, more thought. The Gemara says they're not clear-cut cases of grama. Why not? And now what we're going to do is we're going to revisit each one of the four cases of Rabbi Yeshua and explain why these are not classic situations of grama. Number one. Haparts get a bifnei b'emes chavera, mao detema, kevindolim restreikai, my avedu v'dina eshamayim, nami lo mechayv kamashmalan. Case number one, here we get, today's daf is fantastic because we get chazara within the daf. Okay, so case number one. So I broke my friend's fence again. It was dilapidated on its last leg. So over here, that's a case of grama. Here's what I could argue. It's not even grama. In other words, the fence is going to break momentarily. Right? Look at it. It's falling apart. And so maybe what you can argue is I didn't do anything. In other words, this isn't grama. I shouldn't even be chai b'dinei shamayim. Okay. So the first chiddush of Rabbi Yeshua is, no, that's grama. In other words, again, you're not going to be taken to court because the damage only was caused by you. You didn't do the damage. Because you knocked down the fence, the animals went out, the animals damaged other people's property. But again, you didn't do it b'yadayim. But we're trying to now make an argument that what I did is nothing. The fence was falling apart. No, what you did is something. It's grama. Hakofif kamaso shechaver nami mahu de teima leima mihava yadena de asya ruach sheina mitzuya uvidina shemaim nami lo lechayev kamash malan. So the Gemara says, look, I would have said in the case of bending the straw in the direction of the fire, look, what I did, nothing. Meaning, what happened? A ruach sheina mitzuya, an unusual wind came and swept the fire in this direction. So, okay, I know I bent it closer to the fire. But what happened over here is crazy. It was ones. In other words, it's not even grama. So, ula ravashi damar namitama nitmar, mao detema, anikisur kisicha nealech, ovidina shamayim nami lo chayev kamashmalan. And in Ravashi's explanation, what I did is I covered somebody else's property. So over here, again, an argument could be made. What I did was nothing. Not only that, what I did is nothing. Look at me. I'm a hero. I should, they should honor me at the next dinner. I try to cover it to protect it from being burnt. That's what I was doing. Okay. So again, so that's the Havamina, and the Maskan, of course, is no. In other words, what you did was Grama. Again, now we're saying in the Brice of Rabbi Yeshua, we already established the fact that they're not going to be able to take you to court. Because again, you didn't do it B'yadayim. But what you did was wrong. In other words, now because you covered it, so therefore you create an exemption in which he's not going to get reimbursed for of the fire that consumed his property. So what you did was wrong. It's Grama. Okay, and socher edim, and you going ahead and you hiring witnesses. So again, we're trying to argue now because we want to understand what's the chiddush of Rabbi Yoshua. You're teaching me about grama. I know about grama. I have so many cases of grama. No, over here I could have argued the following. I hired them to falsely testify. Okay, Hashem told them not to lie. Who should they be listening to? Divrei harav, v'divrei atama, divrei mishomim. The Rebbe says one thing. The Talmud says another thing. You should be listening to the Rebbe, not the Talmud. And that's a mashal. Meaning over here, Hashem told them not to lie. I'm telling them to lie. Who do you think they should be listening to? What I did is nothing. Kamash malan. That's the chiddush over there. And finally, Ayudei does chaver veinu meid lo nami ma'u detema miyemer dechi havei mesaydin alei havei moda delma havei mishtab l'shikra uvedine shamayim nami lo chayv kamash malan. Okay, and also Yodea Edus Chaveiro, the case where I have testimony, but I'm just refusing to go to court. I don't want to be bothered. It's like, don't take me to court. And now what happens is that the Brice of Rabbi Yeshua says that that's a form of grama, Again, the argument could be, what are you talking about, grama? We go to court. You know what happens in court? We have no idea what's going to happen in court. You think you have a case, right? He also thinks he has a case. Meaning, when we go to court, who knows what's going to happen? Me yemer dechiyave mesadin alei have moda. Meaning, and remember, the case under discussion is where I'm one witness. So I'm one witness. So now, in order for anything to happen, he's going to have to admit that what I'm saying is correct, or he's going to make a shvua, and he's going to refuse to make a shvua. Again, how do you know what's going to happen once we go to court? So and dilma have mishab l'shikra. Who knows? Maybe what I'm saying is correct, and meanwhile he's ready to lie in court. You don't know what's going to happen.
So you don't want to go because you're afraid he's going to swear.
So it could be now. It could be argued that what you're doing is nothing, meaning it's not even grama. So kamash malan. That's the chiddush. The chiddush is in all the cases of Rabbi Yoshua, arguments could be made that you're not even chai b'dinei shamayim. And what the Gemara now does is the Gemara says, yeah, I hear all those arguments. I reject all those arguments. In other words, in all the cases of Rabbi Yeshua, you're chai b'dinei shamayim.
So what does that mean, in fact?
Though? It means you have to pay.
You just have to pay.
But what it means is that they can't take you to court.
Okay. You're obligated because...
It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Okay. The right thing to do is that you need to pay.
It's a moral argument versus a...
Correct. But you and I, right. I said this a little bit earlier. It's a moral argument, but in other words, as far as halacha is concerned, morality is nice. But in other words, the halacha dictates that you need to pay. But in other words, the court can't get involved.
Correct. You want to pay because it's the right thing to do.
Correct. Benifrit sabalai lo shepartzu a list in v'chulei. Okay. Good. So half of today's daf dedicated to the topic of grama. Right, really, if you want to know, grama in Baba Kama, so nun vav amud aleph, right? Today's daf is really the daf that focuses on this idea behind grama. We go back to our Mishnah, and now leave the world of grama, enter into another world. Today's daf, so many very basic topics that are covered. So over here we get to our next one. Amar Rabba v'hu shechatra. Okay, what happened? In our Mishnah, so the sheep escaped. Now, when did they escape? They escaped at night. You penned it up correctly. And now what happens is that at night, where obviously you can't see, there's no light, right? We're so used to artificial light, like it's like whatever. All right. Human behavior for most of history.
I had moonlight.
All right. For most of history. In other words, once it's nighttime, that's it. People go to bed. So the so now. In the Mishnah, so one of the examples where you penned it up correctly and the animals escaped and you're therefore not going to be liable because it's ones, is where the animals leave at night. Good. Osha partzu alistim. or what happened was is that the robbers went ahead and knocked down your fence. But let's focus right now on where the animals escaped at night. Amar Rabba. This idea of the animals escaping at night. Hu shechatra. So what did the animals do? The animals dug underneath the fence. Now again, it's nighttime. You have no idea. You're not seeing what's going on. So the animals are digging under a fence. And what? And as a result of that, what happens? Obviously now the ground underneath the fence is obviously been compromised, which means the fence is going to come down. So the Gemara says, really, really. So you're telling me that if the animals didn't dig under the fence, and somehow this fence fell by itself, you're going to be chayev echidami. I don't get it. If we're talking about a strong fence, so the animals dig, the animals didn't dig. The fence fell for whatever reason. It was a healthy, strong fence. That's called ones. You're going to be potter. And ela bekosa ra'ua. So the Gemara says, okay, it's a dilapidated fence. Great. So ki chatra amai potter. So tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'onesu. So if it's a dilapidated fence, so now I understand that what happened was crazy, right? These sheep went and dug underneath the fence, and now the fence came down because of that. That's totally unexpected, and it was at night. So we're talking about ones. Yeah, but it was a dilapidated fence, meaning the fact that you are right now left that fence up when that fence was on its last leg, that you're a posheya. So this falls under the category of tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones. Our second big topic for today.
Because ultimately it would have fallen down anyway.
It's going to, in other words, not ultimately. In other words, it's on its way out. Uh-huh. And so now you are a prosher. The way you penned it up was not was negligent. Now it happens to be that the animals did something that was beyond your imagination, digging underneath the fence. Okay. Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones. So now, are you going to be liable? Meaning it was an ones that occurred, but an ones that really stem from a pshia. Are you going to be chayv or going to be potter? As you can imagine, you don't have to imagine. It's a machlokas. So the Gemara says, Hanich alamanda matchilas b'pshia v'sofa bonus potter. Alamanda matchilas b'pshia v'sofa bonus chayv. Michael amemar. Okay. So if this is a circumstance of our Mishnah, and I subscribe to the idea of tchilas b'pshia v'sofa ba'onis is going to be chayv. Got it. But if this is the circumstances of our Mishnah, and I hold that tchilas b'pshia v'sofa bonus is potter, so then we're kind of stuck in our Mishnah. Meaning, in our Mishnah, what happened? Dilapidated fence. Animals did something kooky. Started digging underneath the fence. The fence fell because of the animals digging. So it's an ones, and therefore I'm potter. Yeah, but it was the fence was dilapidated. Tchilas b'pshia. And if I subscribe to the view of tchilas b'pshia v'sofa bonus is chayev, so then how are you going to stay over our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says that you're potter.
Okay.
No. We're past. This is no longer grama. This is not grama. So Ella must eat some because of bari. So the Gemara says no. Our Mishnah is talking about where the wall was healthy, and even if the animals didn't dig, meaning no. Our Mishnah is talking about ones, simple case of ones. Don't make it complicated. The fence is good. It's a healthy fence. The fence fell down for reasons that were well beyond your control. It's ones. That's what the Mishnah is describing. And therefore, the fence fell and circumstances beyond your control, you're potter. Okay. Keep it simple. What about Rabbah? Because Rabbah was trying to explain something. He wasn't explaining the ratio of the Mishnah. He was explaining the safe of the Mishnah.
Why is the owner not responsible for a rickety fence to begin with?
No, again, if the fence were rickety, the owner is responsible.
Okay.
Correct. The Mishnah's case is talking about where the fence was strong. And it fell down for circumstances beyond your control. Ones. So and as far as Rabbah is concerned, the chitma de Rabbah seifa itmar, and that is hinicha bechama shemaso chershon tevekatam yatsav izika chayav amar Rabbah veafilu chatra lo mi bayhechad lo chatra dekule bipshia ela afilu chatra nami. Now, what's the second case of the Mishnah? So you recall yesterday's daf. So what happened was is that you left the animals penned up, but directly under the sun, you provide no shade for them. Okay. Now, here in Florida, so we understand hot summers. And you're outside for an extended period of time, so you go crazy. Okay. And so animals left outside under direct sunlight in the hot sun. And so now the owner over here is a poshea. He's negligent. And so therefore the animals now escape. So you're torturing them, and now they escape because you're torturing them. You, the owner, are negligent for leaving such a situation. Rabbi says, now I'm going to take that Mishnah and I'm going to go one step further with the Mishnah. Not only are you going to be liable where the animals make an escape, but even if the animals do something, let's call it crazy. And that is that they dig under the wall in order to get out. Now, I don't expect sheep to do that. And for sheep to do that, that's so beyond. So you could have argued that's an onus. Rabbi says, you're not going to argue it. You can argue it, but I'm going to reject the argument. Because you're torturing the animals, for the animals now to do things which are well beyond what it normally does, that was you. That you're a poshea, and you tortured your animals, and therefore, whatever happens from that point going forward, it's all going to go back to you. You're going to be liable.
It's not onus.
Huh? It's not onus. That's the point of Rabbah.
As far as the torture, it's also like secondary, because you're not like, you failed to put a shield.
Yeah. Correct.
It's not like you did something really. You took an action. You tortured.
Okay. The Mishnah says Mishnah says you're chayef. So ma'u detema haviyale tchilasa bepshia v'sofa bonus kamash malan de kula pshihi my tima amrele made the yada de kevin de shavkasa bechama kol tatzdeka de israelim eved avda benafka. The Gemara says this is something that you can easily forecast. You put the animals directly under the sun. You provide no shade for the animals. The animals will do everything within their ability, even creative maneuvers, in order to get out of that situation. And all that comes back to you. That was your a result of your action. And therefore, you are going to be chayav. Hotia listim, listim chayavim. Okay, now we're going to be talking about shifting responsibility. Okay, we're up to the next part of the Mishnah. Okay, so that was already big topic number two. We talked about Groma today. We talked about Tchilas B'Pshia V'Sofa Ba'Ones. And now as we turn to the Nun Vav Amud Beis, so we get to our next really big topic, and that is shifting liability. And that is that let's say the Ganav comes and he takes the animal, so now the Ganav becomes liable. So the Gemara says, and on the bottom of the previous Amud, just the heading, Hotzia Listim Listim Chayavim. That once the listim take the animals out, so now who's going to be liable and responsible for any and all damages that are done by the animal? The robbers. Okay, because now the robbers have accepted upon themselves shmirah. Now that's funny, by the way, because if you ask the robbers, and if you were to interview them right now, mid-game interview, right? In other words, what are you looking to do? The robbers are like, we're looking to steal. Oh, do you know that you're also going to be liable? The robbers are not thinking that. It don't matter what they're thinking. The fact of the matter is that now because they took the animals, so part and parcel of taking the animals now is also the liability and the chiyuv shmirah that comes as a result of that. So the Gemara says, Pshita came into Afkua, Kaima Labor.
How were they able to run? Are they a coin of the thing? Is this theirs?
Please wait just one moment. The Gemara is going to discuss. So pshita kevin dafkua kaima la birushu sayu l'chol mili. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. In other words, this is obvious. Once they took it, so now they made a kinyan. Once they made a kinyan, it's going to be theirs. Now, the Gemara says it's going to be theirs. It's birushu sayu. Okay, just to be clear, I know you know this, and I just want to be clear about it. It's not theirs. They're a thief. They have an obligation to return it. But in other words, but we all know that when it comes to a thief, in other words, when we say it's theirs, meaning it's now their responsibility, them doing a kinyan on it creates now a shifting of shmirah. It's their responsibility. And the Gemara says, okay. And without the Mishnah here, I would have known that already. So, lo tzricha dekamale ba'apa. So, ki hada amarabba amarav masa amarav amamid be'emes chavera akamas chavera chayav. So mamid pshita lo tzricha dekamla ba'apa. So the Gemara says that I'll tell you the chiddush of the Mishnah. If they did a kinyan on the item and they took the item, so then enachinami. That's obvious. We're going to go even one step beyond obvious. You didn't do a formal kinyan on the animal. So what did you do? You corralled the animal. Meaning what you did is that you didn't take the animal from your neighbor. But you positioned yourself in a way in which the animal now has nowhere else to go but where you're directing it to go. It's like one of those very technical points where the Ganav didn't do a Maisa Kinyan, but the Ganav now navigated the animal to a point where the animal is forced to go in the direction that the thief wants it to go. And not only that, but the thief also cornered it in a way in which now it's in the neighbor's property. And now the animal has no choice but to eat the food that it was positioned from the thief positioned it right there. This is what's called being a ma'amid. And under those circumstances, even though the thief didn't do a kinyan classic, a formal kinyan, nevertheless, it's chayvus by being a ma'amid. Amaleya by Rav Yosef b'Kisha Martlan. So the velistim nami dihikishua. So now, in terms of understanding this a little bit better, of being a ma'amid, so the Gemara says that in explanation of Rav, so what you did is, it's not that you just stood, but also you hit the animal. In other words, you directed the animal, right? Hitting the animal, directing the animal. So under those circumstances, even though you didn't do a kinyan per se, nevertheless, because you hit the animal, directed the animal, so that is considered, I'm sorry, you're going to be liable. Now, the way I just presented the Gemara, Rashi makes it sound like I didn't present it. Rashi gives somewhat of a different presentation. Look at Rashi inside of Listim Nami Di Kishua Bemakel, right? In other words, I said over that part of the Gemara correctly. You hit the animal, and look at the next words of Rashi. Vashmina Masisim Di Kishua Bemakel Zuhi Mashicha. Rashi is telling us is that by hitting the animal, that is a formal kinyan on the animal. That is Mashicha, that's like pulling the animal. And as a result of that, now I did make a classic kinyan, and therefore the ganav is going to be fully liable. Okay. We're going on in the Mishnah. Once again, shifting responsibility, but over here. Good shifting responsibility, and that is I subbed it out to my shepherd that works for me. Well, it's a little bit unfair. I just kind of gave away the Gemara. But Amre, Tachtav Daman. Now, what did the Mishnah say? That the Nichnas Aroa Tachtav, Lishchayev Bishmira Nizakeha. The Mishnah tells us that what happens now is that once I sub... And I deputize another shomer to watch the animal. So now, basically, he becomes fully liable. Now, he's going to be taking whose place? This gets us to the topic of shomer, shemasal, shomer. One shomer subbing it out to a shomer underneath him. And under those circumstances, is there going to be liability of shomer number two? Now, the truth of the matter is that there is a Gemara in Bava Metzia that discusses this topic in more detail. And really what's at the heart of this discussion is that when I go ahead and sub it out to another shomer, I was asked to watch it. So if I'm asked to watch it, and then I, without consulting with the owner, go ahead and sub it out to somebody else, like in other words, is that an act of negligence? The Gemara in Bava Metzia discusses it in more detail. Truth of the matter is, we also touched on this topic earlier in the Masechta as well. So let's try to understand what's happening over here. That's what the Gemara wants to do. Amre. So on our Mishnah, so they had the following discussion. Tachtav Damani Lema, Tachtav Daba Behema. So the Tanina Chadazima. Masal Shomer Chinam, Lashol Nosisach, Lashol Socher, Kula Nichnasu Tachas Abalim. So in other words, is it the pshat now that the person who accepted Shmira is going to be liable? We knew that already. Ella, so tachtav de shomer, so shomer kami patalei legamrei. So what the Gemara thinks now is pshat in the Mishnah is that when the shomer subs it out to the next shomer, the first shomer is going to be totally exempt from liability by handing it off now. The animal to shomer number two, shomer number one is going to be relieved from all liability.
Sort of like A was the B was the
So Lema, no. This is now shomer, shemasal, shomer. Right? The Gemara is going to spell it out.
But in terms of responsibility.
Watch. So Lema, Tiavetiyuf, the Rava, Dama, Rava, shomer, shemasal, shomer, chayav. So the Gemara says, okay, so now Tiyuf, the Rava. Meaning because according to Rava, shomer, shemasal, shomer, chayav. Meaning what are you going to do? You're going to relieve shomer number one from liability? Who told shomer number one that he could just simply abdicate his responsibility and just simply give it to somebody else? Shomer number one was given the item to watch, accepted the item to watch, and now he on his own made the executive decision, I'm going to hand it out to shomer number two? Who told you could do that? And if you do that, who relieves you from liability? That's at least the opinion of Rava.
So the one who gave it to the other one.
Shomer number one gave it to shomer number two.
Call him Shlomo. Yeah. Shlomo one gave it.
Yeah.
But if both were
Right, right. Am lecha rava, my muscle rava le barzilai. The orche de ro le mimso le barzilai. So Rava will tell you, look, if we're talking about shomer shemuscle shomer, I'm right. Nobody told shomer number one to give it to shomer number two. Shomer number one went beyond his duties, and therefore shomer number one is not going to be relieved of liability. Okay, fine. What Rava says, as far as our Mishnah here is, in Baba Kama is concerned, our Mishnah is talking about where I gave it to a master shomer who's got many people working for him, right? In other words, it's basically a Rebbe Talmud relationship between shomer number one and shomer number two. It's the apprentice of shomer. Shomer number two is the apprentice of shomer number one. When I handed it to shomer number one, I understood the business model. In other words, I give it to shomer number one with the understanding that he subcontracts, right? As an analogy, in other words, right. In other words, if I get a general contractor, I understand the general contractor is going to sub jobs out. So over here, when I gave it to the shepherd, the master shepherd, the general shepherd, so in an Amish and Baba Kama, it was understood he's going to sub it out.
Corporate
Shmira. So the Barzilai Igadami the Megdani Masr La Roa Velokitani Masr La Achish Mamina the My Masr La Morosh Masr La Roa Barzilai the Orchid La Roa the Mimsa La Barzilai Avala Achir La. Oh, okay, good. Now, in another version, by the way, version number two of this discussion, immediately the Gemara picks up on the fact that that we're talking about a sub. In other words, obviously. In other words, because if you look at the language of the Mishnah says Masra La Roa. You hand it over to a shepherd, meaning. Number one, hand it over to number two. Shomer number one is a general shepherd. Handing it off to number two. So the Gemara says, Lema Masei Lele Rav, Damar Rav, Shomer Shemassel, Shomer Chayev. Now, if this reading of the Mishnah is good, now that actually is not a question on Rav, it's a proof to Rav. Because Rav will tell you, in the case where it is a Rebbe Talmud, it's a master apprentice. In that case, when I handed it to the master, I knew that he was going to give it to the apprentice. But generally speaking, if it's not master apprentice, if it's just Stam, my Shomer decided on his own to give it to somebody else, he's not exempt from liability, and that would be a proof to Rava. Amri lo, orchid demilsa ketani v'u adin la'achir. And the Gemara says, look, don't use our Mishnah to prove Rava. Our Mishnah said the word Rava, our Mishnah was just giving you what normally happens. But who adin, the same thing would be true, even if he gave it to Stam a person. One more topic for today. Let's wrap up today's daf. Itmar shomer aveda rabba amar kishomer chinam dame. Rav Yosef amar kishomer sachar dame. So over here, small little sugya. Once again, a huge topic. But we'll do it in a couple of minutes. Right in the context of daf. So somebody who's watching an aveda, okay, found a lost item. Now does not know who the owner is, or knows who the owner is, but owner's not readily available. So now, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to take it home and watch it. You now have accepted upon yourself the mitzvah of a Shavas Aveda, but right now, you can't find the owner. You're watching it, and now in service of, eventually you're going to return it to its owner. As you are watching it, what kind of Shomer are you? Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar. Shomer Chinam has got less liability. Shomer Sachar has got more liability, without going through the details right now. So now, what are you? Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, Machlokas Amarayim. And Shitas Rav Yosef, right? Perhaps one of the more famous Shitas in Shas, is that you are a Shomer Sachar, you're a paid watchman. Paid watchman? Who's paying you? When you return the item to its rightful owner, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get a mitzvah. You're going to get a thank you. Now, if he's nice, you might get a tip. You might get propino, but chances are... Right. In other words, what does that mean you're a paid watchman?
For this alone, you should be considered Shomer
Sachar. Hold it. What, because of the mitzvah? The mitzvah, no. Mitzvah is Av Lahenos, no. Okay, well, wait 1 second. The Gemara is going to say... So as far as Rabbah is concerned, you're not going to get paid. Why are you called the Shomer Sachar? You're Shomer Chinam. That's Rabbah. Rav Yosef, Amar Kishomer Sachar Dami Ba'ina, Dolo Ba'ilim Mitzvah Riftalania, Have Kishomer Sachar. So this is throughout Shas called Pruta de Rav Yosef. Pruta de Rav Yosef is the idea that, look, when I'm watching the Aveda, now you're thinking Aveda, what are you thinking? What am I thinking? I'm thinking about somebody's wallet. That's hard work watching somebody's wallet, right? Back-breaking work, right? Somebody knocks on the door. I need staka. I'm watching somebody's wallet right now. I'm not available. Okay, that's obviously not what the Gemara is describing over here. What the Gemara is describing over here is that I found somebody's animal. Okay, now we're talking about work. Okay, so I watched, right? We took our neighbor's dog in for a week. Okay, Baruch Hashem, it was just 1 week, and it's work. That's a lot of work. Dogs need to be walked, what's it called, tended to, fed. So anyway, so that's what we're describing over here. So now I have an ani coming to the door, and I can't do it right now. In other words, so now I have to take care of the aveda that I lost. So now what I'm doing is that I am getting paid in the savings of not giving to the ani. I know, by the way, it's such a graphic example, right? It's always such a strange example of the Gemara, meaning that because now I'm watching somebody else's aveda, so therefore I'm saving money. The example of saving money be that I'm not going to be able to do the mitzvah of tzedakah. You know, right? I know people out there who like giving tzedakah. So it's like, oh, I got saved from this. It's strange. Yeah, correct. But the idea, correct. Absolutely correct. But the idea over here is that you're osik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. So I have a kishar mitzvah. Igad ami hachi, Rav Yosef ami kishar mitzvah dami, came to Rachman HaShabdei, ba'karch eilka kishar mitzvah dami. Gemara says it in slightly different, in a different version. And that is, do you know why you're shomer sacher? Shomer sacher is because this is what you have to do. Meaning, even if you're not getting paid, but in other words, if this is your job, you're shomer sacher. It's an unpaid job, doesn't matter. Meaning, if this is what you need to do, when you find somebody's aveda, this is what you need to do. Therefore, you're a shomer sacher. Another way to say it.
It's a mitzvah zasei. It's a regular mitzvah.
Correct. Okay. With the music, we come to a conclusion. Kol tov.